Well, I have loved our study thus far. It blesses me every week to see where the Lord is taking us. And last week, when Pastor Brett shared on Psalm 46, I thought, oh, how great is that, you know? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. And how we love seeing that, how we love reading it. And of course, it was from that I came up with the title for this study that we're in this year. Brett focused on three things: the sufficiency of God, the security of God, and the supremacy of God. And while I would say I believe I learned from each one of those points, the one that just grabbed my heart was the sufficiency of God. I love that truth, and it's one that we need to remind ourselves of when we're in good times, but certainly when we're going through difficult times, to believe in the sufficiency of God. It's so easy for us to look to ourselves and we see our own insufficiency, or to our bank account and we see the lack of sufficiency there, or to family, friends. No one quite ever is sufficient enough for our needs if we're looking to people, if we're looking to things. And that's why I loved seeing this morning, you know, turn our eyes upon Jesus. That's what we need to do. That needs to be where our focus is, because it's his sufficiency, and he is sufficient. He is faithful. And so my prayer is, wherever you happen to be in your life this morning, that if you needed to remind yourself of that, you already heard it this weekend, and you're going to hear it again this morning, God is sufficient for whatever it is you're dealing with today, for whatever awaits you tomorrow. He is sufficient. Hang on to that truth. Brett explained how we'll experience the sufficiency of God through the power of his Holy Spirit as we submit to his will for our lives. He talked about happily coming under the Lord's covering. That's what submit means, to happily come under, not to be under begrudgingly, but to be under his covering, submitting to his covering, because he is a God we can trust. He's a God who loves us, and he wants to protect us. He wants to lead us. Most of us go through life, and it's not a breeze by a far shot, is it? You know, some people seem to do really well, but invariably, we're all going to have our times of testing. We're all going to have our times that are really hardships for us, trials. And it's so easy in those times to treat those times like intruders. You know, James tells us not to be surprised by those difficulties, not to treat them as intruders, but to treat them as friends. He doesn't say that, but someone I read once, maybe Elizabeth Elliot, said that. So realize that, yes, it's those things are a part of life, but the Lord wants to lift us above those things. He wants us not to be pulled down, not to be anxious, but to be trusting in him, dwelling in his love, free from that fear that can be so common to us and that the enemy loves to to harass us with. If we're dwelling with the Lord, if we're submitting to his will for his life, we will be enveloped by the love we read about in 1 John 4:18, which says, there is no fear in love, but perfect fear casts out, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. I can remember to this day the first time I saw that verse and just thinking it had to be the most beautiful verse I had ever seen. I highlighted it, I underlined it, but that thought that the Lord wanted to cast out any fear I was dealing with by his perfect love. And so if you're sitting here today and you know you're fearful, that's a word for you. To know that the Lord wants that fear from you. And as you dwell with him, enveloped by his love, you're going to find there's no room for that fear. Well, this is our fifth week of meeting, and I haven't gotten past John 14. John 14 is where we read Jesus introducing his disciples to the Holy Spirit. And in my mind, when I started this, I thought, well, what better way to introduce the Holy Spirit to all of us than to read the way Jesus introduced him to his disciples? And as you know, if you've come to my studies, I don't have this long plan of teachings, and they're not completed. I don't know where we're going from week to week. And so I had in my mind that that's where we'd be that first week. And instead, he's had us here for 5 weeks. And that meaning we're there again today. I just can't seem to get past it. But at the same time, I'm not eager to rush on. I don't want us to miss one thing that he has to say to us. In that passage, we know that the disciples were really in a tough spot from their perception. And here the Lord is giving them truly wonderful news. But it sure didn't seem wonderful to them, did it? Later, when they were to experience the indwelling Holy Spirit, they got it. They saw how it was wonderful news, and they spent the rest of their lives proclaiming that truth to everyone that they could. The Holy Spirit is with us. He indwells us as believers. And how we need to be blessed by that, encouraged by that, comforted by that. And yet sometimes we can see the Lord as just being, you know, way up in heaven. And the truth is, no, he's right here indwelling us. Last week, well, actually for 2 weeks, we looked at the Holy Spirit as being our teacher. In John 14:25, Jesus said, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And again, I thought that would be 1 week, and the Lord had it to be two. But it was one of those things that the more I thought about him as our teacher, I was thinking, I mean, he is teaching us. Tuesday mornings, it's him by his Spirit. And that takes a huge load off of me, because I know he's the one who moves among us, so to speak, who knows the message each one of you need to hear today, this morning, and he wants to speak it, whether I have covered that subject or not. I love the fact that he speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his word, whether it's the word as we read it, or the word that is hidden in our hearts. He speaks to us. We hear him speak to us in sermons, in worship songs, and other people, maybe trusted friends, close family members. We hear him speak to us because he wants to speak to us. And I love it because he will give us the wisdom that I know each one of us seek and need. It's amazing how much of our relationship with him is characterized by his teaching and our learning. And if you're like me, there are some lessons you've had to learn over and over and over again. And for me, I get disheartened with myself when I realize I'm yet going through something that's to teach me the same basic truth. And I might be disheartened with myself, but I am so grateful. He doesn't get weary of me. He doesn't get weary of you. You know, he doesn't do what maybe our parents might have done when we were growing up, you know. How many times do I have to tell you? You know, that is not the Lord. He just says, oh, you're not getting it this time either. And as Corrie ten Boom said, it's okay when we fail those tests. He allows the makeup exams. But he wants to complete the work. And Philippians 1, verse 6 tells us he'll do just that. It says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. So that needs to be your confidence and mine. Whatever he's wanting to do on us, he is going to do it. He is going to have his way. And that is truly a wonderful encouragement. I'm so thankful for it. Last week, one of the things we talked about was the importance of abiding in his word. You know, letting his word become roots in our lives that go down deep. When we have his word planted in our lives, we'll find ourselves being stable. And it kind of brought to my mind later about women, because invariably, when I meet with a woman, I will ask her, so you in the word every day? And I don't mean that to be accusatory. I'm just wondering where they are in the word. Are they reading the word every day? And I would say almost everyone initially says, oh yes. But a good number of those women will modify it by saying, well, you know, I mean, that is, I have this devotional I really like, and I use it every day, and it always includes scripture, or it has scriptures right at the bottom, and if I have time, I even look those up. And I thought, and I'll always tell them, you know, they need more. You know, reading that way, the picture that came to my mind was of a hummingbird. You know, we've all watched the hummingbirds. I love to watch them. And they'll flit from flower to flower to flower to get their nectar. And they're satisfied. They're happy to do that. But that's kind of what we're doing when we have just those little times of reading the word. But it doesn't work with the word. We can't just flit from chapter to chapter or verse to verse and think we're getting it. We need to abide in the word. And again, I know for some of you, you have busy lives, you have little ones. Ask the Lord, how do I get to have that time to abide in your word, Lord? and I know he'll show you how to carve out that time in your day. Jesus wants us to come to him and to learn of him. We all love his invitation in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I see many heads nodding. That means the Lord has spoken this word to you probably multiple times. I know he has spoken it to me. As I mentioned, once again, we're going to be in John 14. So if you want to turn there, go ahead. In verse 26, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Actually, that's verse 16. "Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Then verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And I've always loved that last verse so much, because there's nothing that feels much worse than feeling you're all alone, as if you're an orphan. And of course, that's how the disciples were feeling. They were thinking, Jesus is leaving? And he's saying, no, I won't leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. I've pointed out before that the name for the Holy Spirit in verse 16 varies in different translations. I just read Helper, which is the New King James Version. In the King James, it's translated Comforter, and the NIV Counselor. But when I looked it up in the Amplified Version, oh my goodness, it goes all out. They use the name Helper, but then following in parenthesis, and if you've seen the Amplified Version, you know that what it does is it expands a word or a thought so that it really helps you to take hold of it. So following the word helper in parentheses, it says comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. And I thought, just meditating on those is a wonderful thing for us to do. But it also made me think of the time when Moses said to the Lord, "Who shall I say sent me?" And the Lord's answer was, "Tell them, I am that I am sent you." And what he was saying to Moses was, "I will be whatever you are in need of." But for all the times we have heard that, for the many times I'm sure we've each read it, do we believe it? You know, can you say, "I believe the Lord will be whatever I am in need of"? Do I believe God is sufficient? That's why I so loved focusing on that this weekend. God is sufficient. He'll be for you whatever you are in need of. The title for the Holy Spirit comes from the Greek word parakletos, and it means one who is called alongside to help. I love that thought. Called alongside to help. The Holy Spirit is our constant helper, and he's ready and able and willing to give us and to be for us whatever we are in need of, and to help us in whatever area of our lives that we need his help. That's why I love the Amplified Version, because it enlarges our thinking. It broadens our scope of understanding. If you don't have an Amplified Bible, maybe you should ask for one for Christmas, because truly it's a wonderful addition to your morning time in the Word. You might not want to use it as the Bible you go through the Word in. Maybe you would. I know people who have. But it sure is great to say, I wonder what the Amplified says on this verse, and to open it up, and it's like, wow, I just love that. And yet to remember, of course, that even for all the names that we read for the Paracletos, they're all the same Holy Spirit, the same God. It's just a way of seeing how he is in our lives, how he acts in our lives, what we can ask of him in our lives. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at just four of those names, but we're going to see and hopefully allow the Lord to apply those names to our lives today. The first one, helper. In Psalm 118:6, it says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid." You know, I love the thought that Jesus is not offended to be called our helper. That is so amazing to me. Over the years, I've seen and heard some women who are very bothered by that name if it's given to them. You know, Genesis 2:18, the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helper comparable to him." And I've literally watched women's faces change expression when I read that. There's something in their mind about the word helper that's demeaning, even demanding. But think about it. Jesus doesn't mind being called the helper. That is something for us to think about. In Philippians 2, starting in verse 5, it says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." We live in a culture where humility is not thought of very highly, is it? And yet think of Jesus, who made himself nothing. Jesus, who humbled himself to die for you and for me. Jesus, who is not offended to be called our helper. Those thoughts should effectively expose the own pride each one of us have if we resent the thought of being called helper. Our connotation of helper may be belittling, but Jesus was willing to make himself nothing, to become a servant, and we'd do well to follow him. The second is counselor. How I love the truth that the Holy Spirit is our counselor. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the law, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And I said, is in the law of the law, in the law of the Lord. Psalm 16:7, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. You know, unlike going to a counselor's office where we leave in a prescribed time, when we go to the Lord for counsel, it's like having an open-end conversation. And sometimes we come to him and we present our situation, we wait for a while and we don't feel an answer comes. And so we go about our day thinking that, well, guess I'm not going to get the answer now. And then I'm sure you've had it happen where, you know, maybe you've just climbed into bed and you're just lying there in that place before you drift off to sleep, and the insight you were praying for comes to your mind. The answer you had asked to receive suddenly is there in your mind. And I love how he does that. Even at night, the psalmist says. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. James 1:5-8 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, needing God's counsel, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. In other words, he must appropriate the counsel. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man shouldn't think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The Lord wants us to come to him and ask for wisdom. But when we do that, we need to have the mindset of obeying whatever we receive. We don't go to God for his opinion, you know, as if, well, I've listened to some friends, so what do you think, God? I think I'll ask a few more friends. No, if we go to the Lord for wisdom, it needs to be with a mindset that what he speaks to us, what he reveals to us, becomes what we need to do, whether it's in line of what we hoped we'd hear or not. Psalm 73:21 says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward you will take me into glory. Each one of us needs to seek our counselor daily. And I'm so glad that with him, we don't have to wait for an appointment. We can approach him anytime, day or night. The third name, Advocate. And how I love this name. It's one of the enemy's favorite tactics to accuse us. And a day never goes by that I don't hear his accusations, whether about me, about somebody else, or even worse, when he accuses God. And I never speak to a woman, I never go a day, I would say, without speaking to a woman who doesn't need to be reminded that she's listening to the accuser. See, the problem is when he speaks in a way that sounds like our own thinking. So when we're accusing ourselves even, you know, when you have that thought, oh, I'm so stupid, you know, I just messed up, you know, when am I gonna learn? It all sounds like me to me. That is the accuser accusing you, because he likes nothing better than to pull you down. What about when he accuses others to us? You know, he'll do that by, you look at someone and the thought comes, she doesn't like you. Or you're telling a story and you see someone, you are really annoying her right now. You know, you're offending her. Have you ever had those thoughts? You know, she cannot stand me. She thinks I'm boring. Or she doesn't think I'm good enough for her. We're so quick to believe those thoughts. Consider that they're the accuser speaking those things to you, because he is divisive and he loves to divide. It says in Revelations 12 that the accuser accuses the brethren day and night. 24/7. Be mindful of him and don't listen to him. We have an advocate, one who is not against us, but for us. Psalm 118, verse 6 says, "The Lord is for me, so I'll have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" And I love it because in the one-year Bible this past week, I read that two times. And it was the same day, I believe. And the first time it appeared in Psalms, and then the second time it was quoted in Hebrews. And I love when the Lord does that, because he's wanting me to get it. Psalm 118, verse 7 says, "The Lord is for me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies." And Romans 8:10, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" I've sometimes been asked, "Pray that I would have God's favor." You don't have to pray for God's favor. You have it. See that it's something that you can't earn. He already has you in his favor. And he wants to give it to you. You have it. So don't ask for it. And yet he does discipline us, doesn't he? And yet even his discipline is because he is for us. Hebrews 12:5 says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son." I love the first part of verse 5 because it tells us a word of encouragement is what that verse is supposed to be. A word of encouragement, because we're addressed as his children. John 2, verse 1 says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." 1 John 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." It's such an amazing thought that the Holy Spirit, as our advocate, is like a defense attorney before the Father. He's not excusing us for our sin, but he's saying that he paid the price for that sin. He died for us that we might be forgiven for our sins. And the last name we'll look at today, number 4, Comforter. We've been in John 14 for several weeks. Do you remember how this chapter opens? Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He He speaks those words to the disciples because he knows their hearts are troubled. He just finished telling them that he'd be taken away from them and that they wouldn't be able to follow. Of course their hearts were troubled. And if you read the rest of this chapter and the ones to follow, you're going to hear the voice of the Comforter as he speaks words meant to comfort them in their anxiety and intended to allay their fears. He was telling them that there'd be one who would come alongside them. And as we all know, they just couldn't take hold of what he meant. The result was troubled hearts accompanied by anxiety. And yet the Lord continued to speak words of comfort to them. We can't throw stones at the disciples, can we? He speaks words of comfort to us. And sometimes we go right on with our fears, right on with our anxieties. We can even stop and read a verse and say, oh, that's so wonderful. And before 5 minutes have passed, we're back in the rut of our fears and anxiety. What is that about? That's why we have a comforter. And he comes alongside us and brings the comfort that can come for him alone. It's true in those times that we're feeling anxious, that we're feeling just alone, that we can believe that lie that the enemy sends to us, which is that we are alone. I know I can remember one of those times when it was an exceedingly low moment in my own life. And I heard the voice of the Paracletos, but I didn't recognize it. I was by my bed and praying, and I heard Psalm 34:18. It seemed strange to me to have that impression. I'd never experienced that before. I paused and then went on praying. And after praying for just a couple of more minutes, I heard Psalm 34:18. It was just this impression on my heart. And again, I stopped. I thought, it's so strange. And I hate to admit it, but then I went back to praying. A third time, I heard Psalm 34:18. And I'm crying, you know, just feeling so awful. And this time I opened my eyes and my Bible was right there on my bed. And I thought, I might as well just look it up. I mean, for all I know, there aren't even 18 verses in Psalm 34. So I reach for my Bible, I open it up, and it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. That was the Comforter. He was so near me when I had felt so alone. It was one of those times that I felt like an orphan. And yet, he was so near enough to say, read this verse. Hear what I would say to you. Does this show you that I'm with you? That I see you? I see your tears. I hear your heart. And yes, it did. And that's the Comforter. That's what he wants us to see. In Psalm 139, David asked, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Trust in the sufficiency of God. The Holy Spirit is our Paracletos, the one who comes alongside. He's our helper, our counselor, our advocate, our comforter. He's that ever-present help. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you are our ever-present help. Lord, thank you for telling us the same things over and over again and not tiring, but knowing our frames, knowing that we have to hear over and over again. And Lord, we would pray that this morning we would take hold of these things you have shown us. That, Lord, we would let you show us the personal application in each one of our lives. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us, for teaching us, for comforting us, for helping us, for being our advocate, fighting for us, and for comforting us. In Jesus' name, amen.